Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask you to use your word as it pleases you in our lives. If we do not know you, may today be the day of salvation. If we know you and strayed, may today be the day when you call us back. If we come in here just kind of satisfied with our spiritual lives, may you challenge us to pursue Christ and conformity to him with more zeal. And so, Father, you have your word. It will be used in our lives. And so we ask you to bless it. For Jesus' sake, amen. If you turn your attention to the scripture reading, it is page 1148 in your pew Bible. And it's always a challenge when you prepare in one translation and preach from another. So you want to make sure that everything is as I prepared. And this passage from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 to 24 is the passage in which we find our major text, even though we're going to look at a number of different scriptures this morning. But let's begin by following along, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 12 and reading through verse 24. Give attention to the hearing of God's word. Now we ask you, brothers, that you respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. That's the reading of God's word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. I know this is Thanksgiving Day. I know that there's a certain routine to this day, and I love it and appreciate it. I like the Macy's parade. I like the football. I like the turkey, the cranberry sauce, the stuffing. I like it all. I mean, this is not a part of American Thanksgiving that I don't cherish. And to the degree that it has been changed by the present circumstances, to me, it's a great sadness. But we will carry on and hope that life returns to something more normal in the near future. So enjoy. And I do not come here to challenge you inordinately about Thanksgiving, only to bring to your attention that although there are national Thanksgivings, there are Christian Thanksgivings too. And we have both of those things to consider today, both the fact that as members of this nation, we're caught up in this tradition of Thanksgiving, which gives us an opportunity as Christians to thank the Lord. But as gathered saints here in the presence of the Lord, we have an opportunity to consider the breadth of what the Scripture teaches about what we as Christians, not just citizens, are to do in terms of thankfulness. And I read this passage, and as I was reading it just here in your presence, I had to stop and pause. It is certainly one of the most challenging passages in all of Scripture. Just listen to this again. Be joyful always. Wow. Whoops. Pray continually. Whew. Another swing and a miss. For this, give thanks in all circumstances. Whoa. 0-3. You know, it's challenging, isn't it? And then it goes on to just add on to it. This is the thelema, the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. There's a lot there. I had an opportunity to reflect upon this and to live it out this week. We came up to Vermont a week or so ago and decided I was going to get in a little kitchen or a little bathroom remodeling project. So anyway, long day, enjoying it. You know, I'm not a contractor, so I'm a Home Depot kind of guy, and so have to make multiple trips before I figure out exactly what I'm doing. But it's fun. It's a way to spend a day. And so Monday night, I'm going down the steps to the basement one more time, just about to wrap things up, and I miss the bottom step. There's two steps, not one step. And the two-step problem is a problem because all my weight went down on the concrete floor and my 125 pounds or so deep knee bend on this knee, 65-year-old knee, that went all the way down to the point where my heel practically hit my thigh. And then, of course, I catapulted out and got this knee all scraped up. And I'm laying like this on the floor, and I'm not sure what has really happened. The only other time I could relate to that was when I did a cartwheel over a bicycle and snapped my femur bone when I was 10. That was fun. Because the pain doesn't set in until a little while later, and then you go, well, that really hurts. So, Kathy, are you okay? I said, I'm thankful. And she said, where did that come from? I've been studying. I'm thankful. Whatever comes, I'm thankful. And Kathy kind of had one of those moments. Well, I don't know who you are, but stick around, you know, because that's really an unusual response to falling down the steps. But it was because I was preparing. I'm just kind of saturated in this whole biblical idea of thankfulness. I said, why is it that we are called to be thankful in every circumstance? As I got up, I could walk. It was really sore and really loose. I think I could have turned my kneecap all the way around. It was that loose. And the next day, just almost stiff as a board. But just you see me, this morning I'm pretty good. So the Lord was good. But I was going to be thankful no matter what. Why? Because I was preparing to come and preach to you. And I'm thinking, all right, I got to live it out. I'm going to start here. Not a bad idea. And that the Bible is just replete with those types of challenges for us. I just want to go through some of them this morning and then make a point. Not a lot of points, just a point. Not only to be thankful at all times and all circumstances, here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but if you just reflect upon our call to worship today, we looked at Psalm 100, and this is talking about being thankful in worship, both public and I would say private worship as well. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. That's how you're supposed to be coming in here to worship. Being thankful. Thankfulness in our hearts. Thankfulness in our lips. Thankfulness expressed in our psalms and hymns. And in His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So, thankful in all circumstances, breaking it down, thankful in public and private worship. Now, how challenging that is, because we tend to come into worship carrying the wounds and disappointments and heartaches and sadnesses and bitternesses of the past week here in the presence of the Lord. But it does stop at the door in which we shift gears and we obey God and we say, I am going to be thankful. I'll give you the reason for that a little later on in my judgment. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul refers to this in Ephesians chapter 5. When in Ephesians 5, he says to the Ephesian Christians and to all of us in 5 verses 19 20, he says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, all times, in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, there's something going on that the Apostle Paul is teaching here that may not be resident in our lives fully. And I ask why? Well, because maybe we're just not obedient. We don't understand how important being thankful is. Really, have you ever run across a chronically unthankful person? They're not nice people to be around. I'm sorry, I've met some. They were typically not Christians, but some were professing Christians. That was very disturbing. All you heard from them was criticism and complaining and kind of a unhappiness in life. The opposite of what God created us to be, and especially to be in Christ Jesus. The absence of thankfulness creates a monstrous human being. And we just don't want to be there. It creates a distortion of what a child of God should be. Remember who and what we are. We're the body of Christ. Christ is here. He's connected to us by the Spirit. And we are connected to Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're connected to one another. We're not just human beings walking the face of this planet. We are somebody special by God's grace, unique. And so that always has to be kept in mind when we consider all the obedience that God has called us to in Christ Jesus, especially this, because it's so challenging when singing hymns and songs and spiritual songs, singing and making music in our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God. Yeah, that is what this is about, isn't it? This is what our common fellowship is about. This is not even a worship passage per se. This is how we are to conduct ourselves with other Christians. We're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs while the wellspring of thankfulness comes from our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit, because we are in Christ Jesus. We're part of the body of Christ. We're the part of the forever people of God, that generation that will live for eternity with God in Christ. So while the world kind of weighs us down, the Holy Spirit lifts us up to this perspective by which we begin to operate differently than the rest of the world, even differently than our emotions may be pulling us. Another passage, Colossians 4:2, where we're always to be thankful continually. In prayer, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And prayer and thankfulness are intertwined always. You cannot pray as a Christian and not be thankful. And it's hard to be thankful and not at least begin to say something to God in some form of communication, call it prayer or praise. how intertwined they are when we, for that moment, recognize the blessing of being a child of God, the blessings that God is bestowing upon us, how He has us in the palm of His hand, is protecting and providing for us, how He is the potter and we are the clay, and everything that He brings into His life is to mold us and conform us more to the image of Christ. Even the things we lose, even the pain we experience, we're not just anybody. We're His. So always when we're praying, there's an intermingling of thanks, because for the moment we're disconnected from really what's going on in our lives, and we're connected to Christ, our head, and who we are in Christ. And by the Spirit, we're able to pray with thankfulness, even in the midst of the greatest sorrows. And that's important. And when fighting against sin and Satan in that triumphal passage in 1 Corinthians 15, what we know as the resurrection passage, toward the end, the Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that is at the end of the passage about how Christ is raised from the dead. And therefore, we are to be thankful even when we are fighting against sin and struggling with those impulses that still live in us that are contrary to the will of Christ. And we are fighting against Satan, putting on the full armor of God, and we are losing the fight consistently. But because of Jesus Christ, we already have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has already defeated all of His enemies and ours by His resurrection of the dead. Therefore, in the midst of this struggle against sin and Satan, we can give thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We may not be experiencing victory in the battles, but we've already won the war in Christ, for which we are giving thanks to God for the victory. And when we're worried, when we're overcome with anxiety, passages come to mind like Philippians 4:6. You know, that great passage in which we're more familiar with this passage perhaps than many others. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." That's what you're to do when you're worried. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I was thinking about this past couple weeks and how worried we are about our nation. True. Never been here before as a nation. It's just almost laughable how you can mess this country up. How do you do that? And of course you watch, maybe you're tuned in to more to conservative news, and you know, they get you all ginned up about how bad things are, how this is going to happen and that's going to happen. My wife and I are kind of news junkies, you know, so we'll watch it. Before you know it, you know, she's stomping off talking to herself. And I'm going, man, we need to turn that off. It's hard. I'm not saying we shouldn't take all that seriously. You're in a position to change things, change things. And certainly pray about it. And the gospel is the solution for America, not politics. But nevertheless, you get anxious, you get worried. You worry about your children, your grandchildren, the future of this nation, your freedoms, the freedom to worship unabridged. Can never tell any American citizen that they cannot worship. It is not allowed. It is in the law of the Constitution. That shall not happen. Well, maybe temporarily, freedom of assembly, freedom of worship. We just think, it's all just vanishing. It's always just vanishing. Because the only redemptive, regenerative influence in any culture is the gospel. Politics cannot save anyone, and it cannot make the lot of any person's life better. It cannot make people happy. Only the gospel provides those things. Even the gospel provides the freedoms that we profess to have in our nation. And so, more prayer and more thankfulness. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your petition be known to God. And what happens? The peace, the shalom of God will come down and keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Keep you from losing your mind, is what it's saying, a little bit. It'll keep you from losing your mind. Keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who owns you, possesses you. He already bought you. You are his eternal possession, and he has an eternal inheritance for you. Nothing changes because politics changes. It all just gets maybe a little closer. Even so, come quickly. I want it now. And thankfulness, of course, as the peace of Christ rules. Just another passage, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, where we read, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since we as members of one body are called to peace, and be thankful." There's something, again, those two things go together. Thankfulness in all times and all circumstances. Thankfulness in worship. Thankfulness when singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, whether in worship or in discourse with other Christians. Thankfulness, especially when we are wrapped into prayer. Thankfulness when we're fighting against Satan and sin and we're losing because Jesus already won the battle for us. Thankfulness when we are overcome with worry and need to have our hearts and minds centered in Christ Jesus. And thankfulness with the peace of Christ ruling. And there's something about that. The more thankful you are, the more you will realize and experience the peace of Christ. You know, there's a person you may never have heard of. His name was Tom Sietas, S-I-E-T-A-S. You know what he's famous for? He held his breath for 22 minutes and 22 seconds. Saw the picture of it. I mean, that's amazing. That's the world record. I hold my breath for a minute and I need oxygen. I remember as a kid, you used to try to hold your breath in class because you were bored. Maybe you tipped over 2 minutes and then you're 22 minutes. Okay, the body's got to breathe eventually, doesn't it? The body's got to breathe. It's part of our autonomic system that we don't have to tell ourselves to breathe. Our body tells us to breathe. And we breathe because we must live. And as I reflect in the years of being a Christian, it goes back to 1971, and ups and downs with thankfulness and struggles with emotions. I don't want to be thankful because this happened and all of these things that, you know, enter into the Christian and letting this wash over me. I'm ashamed that I have not been more thankful. And I see it clearly, just as breath is necessary for the body, thankfulness is necessary for the soul. Thankfulness is the oxygen of the soul that renews the spirit in any situation. Think about that. Your body needs to breathe, even after 22 minutes. And your soul needs to be thankful, because that is the time in all circumstances in which God visits us by these exceptional works of peace, of comfort, of renewal. Whereas we can be standing there, face on the ground, not sure if our knees will ever work again, but we are thankful in that moment of peace comes over us. Or whatever situation you may be facing, this is far worse than that. And the story is told, I don't know if you remember, I mean, this is now an old person, a different generation, Corrie ten Boom, The Hiding Place. Get your kids to read that, because that's really a worthwhile book. Corrie ten Boom and Betsy, her sister, were courageous, compassionate Dutch Christians who helped harbor Jews for the Nazis in Holland during World War II. After the sisters were arrested for doing so, they were imprisoned at Ravensbrück, a German concentration camp. In their barracks, they were shown a series of massive square platforms stacked three levels high and placed so close together that people had to walk single file to pass between them. Rancid straw was scattered over the platforms, which served as communal beds for hundreds of women. Corrie and Betsy found they could not sit upright on their own platform without hitting their heads on the deck above them. They lay back, struggling against nausea and swept over them for the reeking straw. Suddenly, Corrie stood up, striking her head on the cross slat above. Something had bitten her leg. "Fleas," she cried. "Betsy, the place is swarming with them." Descending from the platform and edging down a narrow aisle, they made their way to a patch of light. "Here, and here's another one," Corrie wailed. "Betsy, how can we live in such a place?" Show us how," Betsy said matter-of-factly. It took Carrie a moment to realize that her sister was praying. "Corrie," Betsy then explained, "he's given us the answer before we asked, and he always does. In the Bible this morning," where was it? I read that part again, and Corrie checked to make sure no guards were nearby, then drew from a pouch a small Bible that she managed to smuggle into the concentration camp. "It was in 1 Thessalonians," she said, finding the passage in the feeble light. "Here it is. Comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus." "That's it," Betsy interrupted. "That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about the barracks." Corrie stared at her incredulously, then around at the dark, foul-smelling room. "Such as?" she inquired. "Well, such as being assigned here together." Corrie bit her lip. "Oh, yes, Lord Jesus." "Such as what you're holding in your hands." Corrie looked down at the Bible. "Yes, thank you, dear Lord, that there was no inspection when you entered here. Thank you for all the women here in this room who will meet you in these pages." "Yes," agreed Betsy. "Thank you for the very crowding here, since we're packed so close that many will hear." She looked at her sister expectantly and prodded, "Corrie? Oh, all right. Thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds." "Thank you," Betsy continued on serenely, "for the fleas and for..." That was too much for Corrie. That was just too much. She cut in on her sister. "Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, Betsy corrected. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are a part of this place where God has put us. So they stood between the stacks of bunks and gave thanks for the fleas. Though on that occasion, Corey thought Betsy was surely wrong. As the weeks passed, Betsy's health weakened to the point where, rather than needing to go out or work on work duty each day, she was permitted to remain in the barracks and knit socks together with the other seriously ill prisoners. She was a lightning-fast knitter and usually had her daily stack quota completed by noon. As a result, she had hours each day that she could spend moving from platform to platform reading the Bible to fellow prisoners. She was able to do this undetected, as the guards never seemed to venture into the barracks. One evening when Corey arrived back at the barracks, Betsy's eyes were twinkling. "Well, you're looking extraordinary. Pleased with yourself," Corey told her. "You know, we never understood why we had so much freedom in this big room," Betsy said, referring to the part of the barracks where the sleeping platforms were. "Well, I found out. This afternoon there was confusion in my knitting group about sock sizes, so we asked the supervisor to come and settle it. But she wouldn't. She wouldn't step through the door, and neither would the guards. You know why?" Betsy could not keep the triumph from her voice as she exclaimed, "Because of the fleas." That's what she said. "This place is crawling with fleas." Corey's mind raced back to their first hours in the barracks. She remembered Betsy bowing her head and thanking God for creatures that Corey could see no use for. Well, may our own hearts and lips overflow with gratitude this Thanksgiving season and throughout the year in every circumstance. Don't know what you're facing. Probably nothing as dire as this. It does make the point that simple Bible-believing Christians believe the Bible. They believe the Bible. And that Thanksgiving is something we are to be practicing unrelentingly. That it's not really Thanksgiving Day for a Christian, it's Thanksgiving Year. Thankfulness at all times and all circumstances for all things, expressing in every way imaginable. Ridiculously thankful, inexplicably thankful people, because we are not just people. We are the children of God, connected to Christ and one another, in a sense, visiting here. And that reality transforms us in the people that rise above all circumstances and see the big picture by faith of who we are and what we are in Christ Jesus and what God is doing in our lives by His perfect plan, for which we are thankful. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You have given us breath to breathe to keep our bodies alive. And we're thankful that You have commanded us to be thankful in all circumstances, because this is oxygen for the soul. Otherwise, we would become overwhelmed with discouragement. We would become bitter. We would become critical. We would become complaining. We would become unhappy. We would become a monstrous depiction of what we are called to be as Your forever children in Christ, adopted by Your grace here in this world to do one thing above everything else: be thankful. And to let thankfulness be known in every word that we say, everything that we do, living thankfulness day by day. You know, we've come together on this Thanksgiving Day. And so we thank You, Lord, for this occasion. But when Thanksgiving Day passes, may that just be a reminder of how thankful we are for the life that You've given in this world, the grace that You've shown upon us, and the future that is ours in Christ Jesus. So we give You thanks, and teach us, we pray, how to be thankful in our common everyday living. Teach us obedience to your commands. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.